Very good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Corporate Communication, the introductory course. If you see other people standing in the hall still or in the aisles, be a good citizen and move towards the center. Still one more chair. There's a couple of excellent places right here. So help the people out. It's a really long lecture to be seated at the stairs. That's great. Okay, so you people up front, there is a few places still here. There's going to be a full house. There is over 400 people enrolled in this house, or this room fits 400, so first come, first serve. Okay. All right, let's get started. Welcome to Corporate Communication. This is one part of the basic business studies. And if you're wondering what do the corporate communication people do, you will have ample opportunity to talk to many of the different faculty members of corporate communication. And if you're wondering who I am Vilma Luomaaho. I am the leading professor of corporate communication and actually the vice dean of the business school. So I'm in charge of what's going on in corporate communication, and then I'm also doing a lot of administration work here at JSBE. But let's get started. This class is actually run by Mark Badham, who is right here, and he will be taking over after I do a little introduction to you guys so that you meet everybody, or almost most of the people in the discipline that you will be studying maybe later. But let's start. Okay, so I have selected different pictures up front here. And because this is communication, I expect you guys to talk to other people. So we're going to have these kind of talks and discussions in class. And that doesn't mean that you have to sit next to somebody you know. In fact, theory of social capital and network analysis suggests that you will be better off if you sit with somebody you don't know. Why? Because you get to know them by talking to them. And you never know what you need them for in the later stages of your student life or maybe your career. You never know. So let's start with this. Talk to your neighbor for 1 minute. What do you think this professor is going to say about those pictures up there? 1 minute, introduce yourself to somebody sitting next to you and think, you know, what on earth is that for? 1 minute. Okay, that's 1 minute. Thank you. Very good. Let's see if you got it right. So I'm going to talk a little about the trends we have in society. And whenever I talk about something that you and your friend or your new friend that you just met talked about, I want you to yell out bingo. So then we kind of have an idea of how many of you actually got what I'm going to go for. Let's start with Frank Sinatra. No bingo yet. Wait for the theory part of it, okay? So Frank Sinatra is here because he's asking you to do something. He's asking you to engage. He's asking you to come dance with me. And this is much of what organizations and brands are doing today when they try to communicate with people. They want... Somebody said bingo. Okay, that's good. First bingo we got. They want their employees to be engaged. they want their employees to be really active and be good workers and want to work for the company and talk about the company and their products and stuff. And not just the employees who work for the organization, though that's always the first thing you do. Always first the employees. But they also want the customers to talk to them. They want the customers to help them come up with new business ideas and innovations. Then we have a bubble there. And the bubble is all about foam society. This is a new theoretical thinking that says that actually people in today's communication environment are inside their own little bubbles. So each one of you is inside your own communication bubble. And not just that you're in the bubble, but you are all part of big foam. You know, dishwashing foam? You are all part of that big foam. And you in your own isolated little bubble, you think you control what's going on in your bubble. You collect, you know, certain streams and feeds, and you follow certain people and certain influencers, and you don't take some things in and, you know, block people out or unfriend them or something. But actually, whatever happens in the foam affects every single bubble. So every bubble that is in society is actually connected. And more importantly, it's kind of interesting that you think you are in control, but actually from the outside, they know very well what's going into your bubble. So they can track who you follow, where you went, what sites you're on, what do you collect. And then let's go to the pull word over there. That is about a society or kind of a way of producing content that is opposite to pushing. You know, companies used to spam you with stuff. Some still do. The best ones don't. They actually let you pull material out. So old communication, you know, if you've had some classes in communication, maybe a decade ago, some of you weren't even born at that point yet, but at that point we were thinking communication is something like a message, you know. You get one of those syringes, you know, one of those things that you put vaccinations on people, and you fill it up with your message, and then you look for the target, and you shoot your message, and you look for the influence, and did it work? And you wait for the feedback and see what happened. That's the old way of communicating, you know, that you kind of push the message out there. That's what people and organizations do that have really big websites where they spam a lot of information, or they send you stuff that you don't need or you don't want to hear at that point, but they spam it to you anyway. So that's what we call push communications. Pull communication is what we're trying to get you to do when you go to the work market, which is about understanding the stakeholders, people we will talk about in a bit, the customers, the employees, everybody around an organization. You need to understand what do they want and what do they need. And if you don't understand that, whatever you say is going to be spam. If you don't understand what they need, it's going to be spam. Okay, then we have the eye in the middle. So that's about visual world. So this is something that many of us are actually liking about brands and organizations today, that much of the stuff that they give to you is using visual cues. This is about videos and pictures and Instagram and TikTok and stuff like that, that you can actually get messages very quickly across to people. And then we have emotions out there, the three weird masks. Those are about enabling people to feel things. So it used to be that, you know, we wanted everybody to just smile and be happy so that, you know, things look like they're going well. But actually authenticity, so being real to what you are and who you are and how you're feeling, is something that is nowadays a big value. We didn't get any more bingos, did we? No? Okay. That's fine. That means you need this class. Welcome to this class. We'll see if we get to the rest of those, because let's move on to the most important stuff. Here. So when we say corporate communication, we are actually talking about relationships. So if you remember nothing from this course, which would be unfortunate because you wouldn't pass the exam, but anyway, if anybody asks you what on earth did you learn today, you can say this one sentence: corporate communication is about relationships. It's about building relationships. So when you think about what are the relationships that organizations need, you have to think more broadly than just, well, customers and workers. You have to think about who is affected where you decide to have this business or this organization, who wants to help, who wants to help, or who is actually not happy about you, or who is who do you need to report to, or do you need to have some public officials bless your things, what you're doing. But let's start. Let's think that you walked here or bicycled here or drove here, and while you were driving, you saw a fantastic apple tree. It was out there. I mean, it's a good season for apples this year, and it's a big crop. So you decided, hey, you can never have too much money. I think I will start an apple pie baking industry in my dorm room. Yeah? Sound like you? Okay, you're not sure, but I recommend this business. It might be a, you know, something that you enjoy doing at some point. But let's say you decide to make this apple baking business. Who will be a stakeholder in your business? Talk to your neighbor 1 minute. Okay, I think you can think of at least one. So let's hear it. Shout out any potential stakeholders that you think for your new apple business, apple baking, apple pie baking business are going to be there. Anybody, anything. Supermarket. Supermarket. Oh, wow. You're thinking about, you know, taking the brand further, you know, expanding, selling. Yes, supermarkets. Why not? Excellent idea of stakeholder. Who else?
Friends.
Friends. Yes. Not only just your first customers, maybe, but also moral support in times of tough baking nights when you want to give up, but you know the business has to be going because you've sold so many orders. Mm-hmm. Who else?
Employees.
Employees. Wow. Yes. You are thinking of expanding. Maybe you hire the girl in the next dorm room who also likes cooking, or maybe you force your little sister or brother to come help at some points. Employees. Very good. Who else?
Family.
Family. Yes. People who grow your apples.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a very, very good stakeholder. Because without the people who grow the apples, you might not actually have the whole business. Yes, and then you had friends and you had family. So family who supports you when you are going through a tough time, or family maybe who gives you the secret recipe that you always needed for your business. Who else? Customers. Oh, very good. Yes, without whom you will actually not have a very blooming business. Nobody to buy your product. Who else? Yes, just shout out. Competitors. Bakeries. Oh, yes. What about Fazer Bakeries? Do they see you as the new threat? Are you going to take their business model and revolutionize the whole industry by your one-shop kitchen baking system? Mm-hmm. Competitors. Who else? The landlord. Very good thinking. See, usually when we think about business, we like to think about, you know, the customer, the employees. But actually, in corporate communication, we have to think the whole society. The place you work. Who is there? Whose opinion about you allows you to collaborate or allows you to have your business? And whose actually problems with them might cause you to go out of business? And the landlord is a very important stakeholder, because they give you the license to operate. They give you the permission to use their place for that. Or they might even not know that you're using this for that, because there is, you know, all kinds of law issues and all kinds of regulations about where you can cook and what kind of passes you need to pass and what kind of hygiene tests you need to take, etc., etc. Anybody else? I am waiting for the word neighbors. Because your neighbors might not be that excited about your business. Why? Because it actually might disturb them. And it might actually bother them that you're having something like this. And they might actually turn against you. They previously thought you were pretty cool, you know. They were okay delivering your mail if it got into the wrong box. But now with this apple baking thing going on and people running in and out your house, your dorm room, I don't know if that's a good idea. Stakeholders can come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. We have the positive ones, the ones who support you. Here in CorpCom, we call them the faith holders. They have faith in you, luottojoukot in Finnish. They are the ones you can trust. They are the friends. They are the family. Usually they are the ones who actually like to support you. And then we have the hate holders, the ones who are not happy with you and who actually are trying to fight your business or who are actually trying to make your business disappear. They might actually be competitors who write fake reviews on sites about you, how your pie was not crusty and how you actually had like a worm coming out of the pie. That definitely wasn't true because, you know, your apples don't have worms. And then we have a new phenomenon called the fake holders. So people or machines or bots that actually sound and look like they would be real people thinking about something and opposing something or being for something, but they don't exist. They're not there. They're artificially created. And in this world of different stakeholders, the positive ones, the negative ones, the fake ones, you as an organization or a new business have to figure out who is your priority. How do you survive in life? Whose relationships do you have to maintain? And one that you guys didn't yet mention is actually the media. You might be well off actually talking to some video blogger friend of yours who would then, by the way, recommend that when you are in Jyväskylä, in this dorm section, you might just want to drop by and taste this amazing pie. Or you might want to get a news article into Keskisuomalainen and talking about these new forms of entrepreneurship that spring in the student village. But no matter who the stakeholders are, they are not fixed. They change all the time. Today, you might actually have really good support, and tomorrow, that one person might turn against you. The stakeholder thinking is all about who you need as a business and who needs you or who has an opinion about you. Traditionally, in business studies, we used to think about that if you invest money in something, if you pay something or invest in it, that makes you important. But nowadays, we think that whoever has any kind of stake is actually important. So you don't exist without your stakeholders as a business or as an organization. Let's see. Another topic that we really talk a lot about in corporate communication is the different issue arenas, where discussions and meetings and interactions happen. When you think about getting your message to a certain group and seeing if it worked, you always have to think where to reach them. And not just where to reach them, but also what are they there for. So let's say you're sitting here, and this door bursts out open, and in runs a person in a Santa Claus costume. They have rubber boots. They start whipping rubber boots in your face, on your computers, everywhere you are, and they say, "Christmas is coming, ho, ho, ho," and they run out. Okay, we're a little confused, right? You know, some of you got the right size, but you only got one boot. And some of you are like, "I don't even want rubber boots." And the other one was like, "Why are they coming into this class with the rubber boots?" But you know what they did? That might be a company that really did good market research. They really figured out, you know, who is our target audience? Okay, young people, they're consumers, they're the future buyers. Okay, where are they, young people? Okay, they're in university. So just go to a classroom, get them, you will get, you know, multiple hits, just one visit. And how to sell to them? Well, give them, you know, something to try on. Give them, like, samples of the rubber boots. So they did really good research. They figured out who you are, where you are, what you want. The only thing was, you didn't want them to come here. Well, maybe you did. I don't know. Maybe some of you are actually happy they came. But they didn't come for the reason that you came to this forum. And this is a problem that we see with brands and organizations in society today much of it. They spam with their advertising or marketing or their communication you in the wrong area. And they end up looking like Santa Clauses who threw up things. And instead of just letting you ask questions like, what are you here for and what are you selling and could I get my right size? You know, I would like to try this product, it's fine. They don't even stay long enough to listen. So in corporate communication, we talk a lot about organizational listening, how organizations should actually be where the stakeholders are, listen to what they want, and before they start communicating, start thinking of why did these people come into this classroom or this place? Are they here? Are they open for our products? I don't know how you guys feel, but sometimes I feel a little intimidated when my Instagram feed is spammed with rubber boot kind of things. Some of it is really good. I admit to buying stuff on Instagram. It's really convenient, and they figured out what I like already. But some of it feels like it's coming from the wrong place. If you are doing your corporate communications well, you know what the people think. You know what they are talking about. You always, always analyze and study the environment that they're in, the context they are, the questions that they're asking, the things that they want. We call these arenas, maybe this classroom or maybe a discussion forum online, we call them issue arenas. So arenas where there is a certain issue that brings the people together. They might not even be places where you are all the time. They might be something that you're interested in for a while, and then you come and meet with the people. So, for example, you guys are an issue arena of introduction to corporate communication, because probably the one thing you guys have in common is wanting to pass this class, or at least sit in and when other people around you pass it. And issue arenas, we studied this in several different cases and organizations, and we find that the earlier an organization finds the right issue arena, the better off they are. So if you come and decide to sell your apple pie to some kind of group of people, you have to first figure out, are they in the mood for apple pie at the moment that I'm communicating to them? Are they even thinking about apple pie? Do they have any allergy restrictions? Do they have any dietary restrictions? Do they even want to talk about food? And what is it that they actually want? And instead of, remember, the early ways of doing communication, you have the syringe and you fill it up with your communication and then you spam and hit somebody else with it and see if it worked. Instead of that kind of a push content, you have to think, when can I help them? When are they looking for the apple pie? Say, for example, Friday evening, their mother calls and says, I'm coming over tomorrow morning. That might be your blooming business place. You might find the second that they are actually needing something. And in the issue arenas, we often talk about an integrated approach. So instead of in organizations having some people deal with the sales, having some people talk about or deal with the customer experience, some deal with the marketing of things, some dealing with HR or sales, we like to think that communication has to integrate it all. We have to talk to everybody inside the organization to be able to help. Some arenas, some people are in the audience and others are on stage. And you cannot be on stage before you've been in the audience. So before you start communicating about anything in an organization, you always need to sit and listen in first. What are they talking about? What's going on? Now, this course has a book. And, you know, the choice of textbooks, I'll be honest with you, it's always a tricky one. Because there's like so many books out there and they're really good and some are really good in some things. And we've chosen the Cornelissen one, Corporate Communication. And there are some things we really like about it and then some things we think should be maybe added to it. So here is what the Cornelissen book talks about. They talk about the market. They talk about how the environment that we're in is kind of a market. We would call it maybe society also. So it's not necessarily just a market, because remember, in corporate communication, we care more about the relationships to the environment and the different players than just the buyers. So we have to think about the whole society. They talk about traditional marketing things like direct marketing. They talk about online communications. Remember, don't spam, listen. They talk about community relations, How on earth do we build relations to the people who are the landlord, who are the neighbors, who are the other business owners in the area, maybe even your distribution things? They talk about media relations. What does media report? And maybe in the Cornelissen book there is not that much about the new media relations, which is about video bloggers, but we do a lot of research in that, in corporate communication. So usually at the moment I'm going to, for those of you who will start choosing corporate communication as your major, you might be doing your master's thesis, say, for example, in the authenticity perceptions. So how do people perceive, for example, some video bloggers? Are they authentic or not? Like, what are the things that shape whether they believe it or whether they don't believe it? And then there's public affairs. This is much about lobbying and negotiating the right government relations, getting shaping the legislation that's going on. And then we have the sales promotion, a very traditional thinking. We have the publicity or sponsorship, which is all about promoting your product. And then we have investor relations. So say your apple baking business needs a better oven. And your Kortepohja oven is fantastic, you know, but it's kind of small, at least it was when I was living there. It's kind of you fit in one plate kind of thing, and that's pretty much it. You need a bigger oven. You need somebody to invest in your business to buy you a bigger oven. So we talk about investor relations, because investing money is a lot about communication. It's not just what you do, it's about what you sound like. Are you a credible apple baking business or not? And then we have internally, we have internal communication or employee communication. So what do we tell the employees inside the organization? How do we make sure that they are aligned and that they are interested in what's going on and that they are actually doing and saying stuff that is helpful for the organization and not harmful? And then in the negative end, we have issues management and crisis communication. And that is a very big part of our research in corporate communication. What do organizations do when their reputation is ruined? So when they did or said something that is harmful to their product and is upsetting people. And there is so many different examples of this in society. So what you have in the Cornelissen book is all kinds of different concepts. And we are very picky about defining concepts. So if you want a hint for your exam that's coming, make sure you study, you know, how do you define these concepts? Like, what is corporate communication? What is community relations? What is media relations? And what they don't have in the Cornelissen book is our thinking of this kind of a battery model. And the battery model is just to make you remember that actually stakeholders, before you have done anything, before you even baked your first apple pie, they already, some of them, like you. And some of them really like your business, even though you did nothing. Just because they are pro-Apple, and just because they really think you're a good person, and you're really enjoyable and fun, and they're ready to support you. But at the same time, before you even started your business, there is going to be groups or individuals or people who are not going to like you. Just before you did anything, before you even said anything, before you even started your business. They think it's a bad idea, you don't have the talent, there's no need for apples, and besides, you're kind of annoying. All just because of what their background is like. And in corporate communication, we always have to think, who is worth investing in? Do we spend a lot of time talking to the negative ones, the hate holders? Do we start negotiating with them? And thinking, you know, how can we engage them and get them on board better? Or do we actually just take our time and start supporting the faith holders, the positive ones? Do we strengthen them and make sure that they are there for us? So the battery thinking, that's something that we like to add into the Cornelissen book. All right, my 30 minutes is up, so I will turn this over to Mark. And he's a really cool guy. He tells good stories. And we've hired him from Aalto University, actually, because we're kind of a monopoly in corporate communication in Finland at the moment. So he followed us here. So we're very happy to have him. And if you're wondering why on earth is this course in English, there are several reasons for it. First reason is that we think it prepares you better for the international working life. Second, the book is in English. and it's going to be easy for you to read. And third, there will be Finnish courses if you choose us as a major, but this is just an introduction level thing. All right, Mark.
Okay. Thank you, Vilma. You know, this time in the afternoon is not sometimes not the best time for us because we've just had lunch and the food is digesting and we get a little bit tired. So I want to do something just for a few seconds. Can you all stand up, please? And that's it. I was going to do some sort of a dance, but I have to just plug this in here somehow into my belt. But it's good you all obeyed me and stood up because you will feel better. So go like this, hands up. Thank you. Now, wave like this. I love seeing this. I should get a video of this. Amazing. All right, thank you. Sit down. Hopefully you feel better. All right. So this is the agenda today. Can you hear me all right? Can you hear me up the back? Ah, okay, good. Feedback, good feedback. All right, so we are going to finish a little bit early today. Normally we go until 3:45 p.m., I think, something like that. But today there is an event, and I might not say this correctly, Porsi event, right? Is that right? Okay, good. I didn't check with anyone how to say that. So we will finish at 25 past 3. It kind of depends on how I feel and whether I remember. So just remind me if we get close to that and I forget. So the agenda today is firstly, a little bit about me. Secondly, about the course. This is important because this is the introductory session, and so I need to tell you about the course. Fourth and finally, we'll get into some theory that Vilma started talking about. She covered a lot of information, and so over the next few weeks we will unwrap that a little bit with you, and then I'll finish up with telling you about what to expect next week. So any problems, please email me. My email address is there. This presentation slide is in Moodle, in the course that you've registered in. So you can find my email address there. The other one, Matthias is there for those who aren't really comfortable communicating in English. You can email me and I'll ask Matthias to help to answer your questions, but otherwise his email address is there. I'll explain a little bit more about, there's two different courses all combined here, and I'll do that in a minute. So about me, I forgot that noise was there. I don't have much time, so just very quickly, I was born in Papua New Guinea, up the top there, an island above Australia. My first 14 years were there. I learnt Papua New Guinea language before I learned English, so English is my second language. Bit of funny noise background there. Okay, so then I moved to Australia when I was 14. My parents were Australian, and so I have Australian citizenship. But then, 8 years ago, I moved to Finland. Very short, quick summary of geographically where I am and have come from. And I'll tell you more about myself in the coming weeks because I want to tell you a bit about how I have run corporate communication in my past life. And so I'll talk to you about case studies from my own experience. What the kangaroo there is saying in Australian English is hello. G'day, mate. So I've taught in three different countries so far. There's some universities there. So a bit of international background for you. Also, my work experience, you will find a connection to my LinkedIn profile at some point where you can see more about me. But these are some of the organizations I've worked for. So I will tell you a bit about stories or cases from some of these organizations as we go through the next few weeks. I am an entrepreneur as well, and so I have run businesses, set up businesses, and so on, so we will talk about that. The second one there is Party in Fiji. And I ran a business called Party in Fiji, and I will tell you more about that. You have to come back to hear that story. So these images are there just to remind me of, rather than text, sometimes we can communicate with images. So these images are there to remind me to tell you about, well, on the top left, sorry, your top right, I have built websites and social media platforms for corporations to communicate. As Vilma said, it's not just about pushing communication, but pulling communication. So when I tell you that I'm going to tell you more stories in the coming weeks, I'm pulling you in to come back and communicate with me in the coming weeks. The other one there is, Vilma also talked about media or news media. The news media has been a big part of my life. And in corporate communication, you will learn that there is a wonderful way of communicating with mass audiences around the world through their news media. And I have done lots of that. Now, I'll just quickly summarize your role in this course and my role. My role is to put a package together called Introduction to Corporate Communication. I have to remember that there's a video recording and it doesn't get me if I'm over there or too far over there, and I have to remember that I am being video recorded. My role is to put together a learning environment called Introduction to Corporate Communication. In Moodle, you will find the study guide. That is my role, to give this kind of platform for you, this learning environment, and I will teach you every week. And your role is a little bit different. I can feed you information, but it's your role to welcome it, be motivated, to engage, to, when we are not in session like today, for you to read the chapters that are allocated every week. That's your role. If you want a good grade in your exam, then you need to take your role seriously, because it's a tough exam. I have received feedback from students when I've taught this before, and we try to adjust to make sure the exam is not too difficult. But I want to challenge you now and manage your expectation a little bit, that it's not that easy. So if you're used to getting top grades, hey, you are probably used to studying hard, and so you take your role seriously. So most of you are doing other introduction courses, introduction to management, introduction to marketing. What else do we have? Introduction to entrepreneurship and so on. We try to provide a different perspective of how to look at corporations and organizations. In Introduction to Entrepreneurship, they'll show you a different angle of looking at a smaller organization. They have their own perspective. In marketing, they have another perspective. So in this course in corporate communication, we have a certain perspective of looking at a corporation or an organization. So that's what this image is trying to get across to you, that you'll find lots of different angles. By the time you've finished all these introductory courses, you will have a multiple perspective of looking at how organizations operate. Now, about the course. So, Vilma mentioned this. This is being taught in English, mainly. The sessions that we are here face-to-face with are in English. I will try to provide key terms in Finnish and English for you. So the two courses are listed there. There's Introduction to Corporate Communication, the English version, and then there's the Finnish version, which most of you are enrolled in. And that's YTTP 1150. There is a dictionary in Moodle now where you can look at the key terms in English and Finnish. And I would encourage you to have that with you, so that on your device, for instance, on your smartphone, laptop, so that if there is a term I use that you're not familiar with, you can look it up straight away. Or I would prefer if you put your hand up and ask me, because I do want interaction with you, And often the interaction needs to start from you. So you can just put up your hand, ask me questions at any time. I love questions, especially curveball questions. Questions that are out of the blue that might take us on a tangent. It would make it more interesting. Then there are extra stuff, extra resources in finishing Moodle. Okay? What else do I need to tell you? Okay, so you either enroll in one, the YTTP 1150, the Finnish one, or you enroll in the English version of that, YTTP 2150. So you enroll one or the other. Whatever one you enroll in is the language of the exam. So if you prefer your exam to be in Finnish, then you need to be enrolled in YTTP 1150. Okay? If you have a problem with that, if you have enrolled in the wrong one, email me and we'll see if we can swap you over to the other course. It all kind of depends on the language you want the exam to be in.
Sorry.
Yes?
Would you recommend enrolling on a course
in Finnish, speaking, or in English? I think if you are much more comfortable doing an exam in Finnish, enroll in the Finnish course.
Okay.
I'm basing that statement on feedback from past students of this course. Okay. And I'll tell you more about the exam in the coming weeks and a little bit later, actually. So I'm the main contact. What else? Okay. My goal is to make these sessions as interesting as possible, because it's in these 1.5 hours to 2 hours we have on Monday afternoon where you will gain the most knowledge, which is required for the exam. And so I want to make it as interesting as possible. By the way, I forgot to ask, put up your hand if you received an email from me welcoming you to the course. I sent an announcement via Moodle. Put up your hand. Okay, so quite a few of you. All right, put your hand down. Was there a problem reading that? Was the text understood, or were there problems with the text? There was a technical problem. So put up your hand if there was a problem with the email, the understanding the email. Okay, so it came through okay. Good. When I read it, I thought, wow, there's problems here, and there was a technical problem. So I'm glad you got it okay. So I'm going to make it interesting for you, hopefully, with talking about case studies from my own experience and from the textbook. Exercises in small groups. I'm going to challenge you to sit together and I'll give you some cases to talk about in small groups. And the third thing was quizzes. So I might use some software during class for you to do a quiz. So I encourage you to bring your devices to class. You are welcome to do that. And then it's my challenge to make sure you're paying attention to me while you have your device. But we can do that. So the device is there. I'm hoping you bring it, because there might be, I might use Kahoot or some other software for you to say, okay, for the next 3 minutes, answer these questions. And then you can go on your device and do that. Or you might need it to look at the English-Finnish dictionary in Moodle while I'm teaching. Anyway, these quizzes are not for grading. I'm not going to see your answers. Your classmates next to you will see your answers, or you can evaluate yourself, so don't feel pressured. So this course, it's not mandatory or compulsory. You don't have to attend, but I want you to attend, because this is where you will learn the most. That's why I want to try and make it as interesting as possible for you. If you cannot make it for some reason, whether you're sick or you have to work, then we are recording this, and the recording of each lecture will be in Moodle for you to look at afterwards. But I don't know about you, but most of us don't. It's a bit more boring watching a video. It's a bit better coming to class. So that's my encouragement to you. Okay. So there's two weekly actions. Before you come to class every Monday, read the chapter in the textbook that I've told you to read. So today it was chapter 1 and 2. And the second thing you need to do every week is prepare for the quiz. Really, it's just combined. Do the reading. And that will be preparation for the quiz. And again, I'm not going to grade you on the quiz. You'll self-assess. You'll look at it yourself and find out how you did yourself. So the learning outcomes are just a few bullet points. And I say this because when you get to the end of the course and you're coming up to preparing for the exam and you're starting to sweat a little bit and get headaches and worried about your exam, just look back at these learning outcomes. Really, it comes down to just a few things. You will hopefully be able to, by the end of the course, hopefully you'll be able to explain the important role of corporate communication in an organization, a contemporary one. You will be able to identify the basic principles. Basically, you'll be able to identify, you'll understand the theory a little bit better. You will understand the importance of what Wilma was talking about, some of these key terms like stakeholders, very important. Strategy, very important. Planning your communication, very important. One, two, three, four. Fourth one, you'll be able to understand the differences between marketing and advertising and corporate communication and so on. It's not easy understanding the differences between those. There's a buzz when I go over there. Maybe the batteries. Okay, so here's the multiple choice exam information, the dates. Really, you get three chances. The first one is Monday the 23rd of September. That can't be right. No, sorry, I'm looking at the wrong thing. The exam, so 8th November, in the morning. So read the second point, very important. It's multiple choice. The content of the exam will be based on my teaching in class, which you can get face-to-face or from video. It'll be based on your readings of the allocated chapters in the textbook. That'll be based on content in the slides. Between all of that, that's all the content that's needed for the exam. Any questions about the exam? Yeah. Yes, if you're enrolled in YTTP, you will get it in Finnish. Put it this way, if you are enrolled in YTTP, you will get the exam completely in Finnish. And if you enroll in YTTP 2150, you'll get the exam completely in English. But hopefully to prepare you for both, you'll hopefully see in my slides that I'm trying to give you the content of the exam will be in, I'm going to teach you in Finnish and English. So if I give you the word stakeholder, I'll give it to you in Finnish as well. That will be in the exam. So key terms are important. Definitions are important. So that's a good question because this is predominantly in English, we want to make sure that the exam is easy enough for you in Finnish as well. So as it comes to the last few weeks of this course, if you still have questions, for instance, the definitions I provide are mostly in English, if you have questions about definitions, come and see me or email me, and we'll see if we can make sure, like Matthias, who's helping with this course, he can perhaps translate definitions into Finnish. Hopefully that answers your question. Yeah, in the one exam for everyone. That's a good point. Yeah. I wonder if anyone has thought of that before. I'll check it out. Yeah, good. Thank you. Up the back.
Yes, sorry. Is there any way possible to get on the full screen or maybe zooming a bit?
Sorry?
The slides. He means the slides. For these slides.
Yeah.
It's possible to get full screen. Oh,
sorry.
From the top.
This one? No. If anyone knows how to do this.
Maybe double click the white arrow.
No. Yeah, I sorry, up the back, you won't be able to see this very well, will you? Can you come and do it? Thank you. You come over here.
I won't end it. I meant the display settings.
Don't get rid of my slides.
No?
Yeah.
This one?
Ah! Thank you. You can sit there every lecture. So let's get on to the other way you can earn more points, more credits in this course is there will be a movie study. I'll tell you more about it later. We're running out of time, but at the end of this, towards the end, you will be able to get some extra credits, and there's some dates there, some information there. But I better move on now. So each week, so next week, we'll talk about a bit more about what Vilma was talking about, stakeholders. We'll talk a bit more about issues, which she talked about issue arenas. We'll talk about that and issues, what are issues. We'll talk about crises as well. Following week, we will talk about strategy. How do you put together a strategy where you can make sure that your audience, your stakeholders, your publics will get the communication that you want. Whether it's a large global corporation or a small startup, they all need to plan their communication strategy. So we'll talk a bit about that in week three. And then you'll be able to do this movie attitude study. So I better go back and talk about that. Okay, so participation includes two questionnaires plus watching a 30-minute film. The questionnaires and the film are in English. There's subtitles. The questions are anonymous, so you won't be identified. You could do that to get extra credits. But, of course, you need to have passed the exam to pass the course to be able to get the credits. Some people have failed. So that's a challenge for you. So in week three will be the first one, movie attitude study, so you can come and do that. No, just one.
Okay.
Choose one or the other, whatever date suits you best. So then in week four, Matthias is coming to talk about corporate identity, branding, and reputation, and also about new media communication. Sometimes we call it digital media, which involves social media communication. How are we going for time? I don't have much time left, do I? I said 25 past, right? So, okay. Week five, Kaiser used to work for Kone, I think Kone, yeah, and she was coming to talk to you about internal communication or employee communication, change communication, leadership communication. Then another guest speaker, myself, will come back in week six, and so we'll talk about community relations. You might have heard of CSR, Corporate Social Responsibility, very popular these days. We'll talk about that. Salla from your local news broadcaster will be coming to talk about the news media in week six. In week seven, we'll talk about some of the legal and ethical issues to do with communication and how do you measure communication. And then I'll tell you a bit more about the exam because that will be the second last session and then the final session. We have a very special event where we're getting some guest speakers from Denmark and Helsinki to come and do a big presentation. Gregor will come and he's the Dean of Copenhagen Business School. He used to run a large global communications company in Europe, so he has lots of stories to tell. So he'll come and talk about trends in corporate communication today. What sort of careers are developing today in corporate communication and the skills needed? And others will come and talk about some case studies. So just quickly, in the next 10 minutes, let's go over chapter one of your textbook. Just a bit of a silence to refresh, clear your mind. Theory is always exciting, isn't it? I have some funny looks from people. Theory is exciting. In this course, it's mainly theoretical, but we're going to link it to real case studies as well. So you'll get a bit of theory and how it's been applied. So, okay, I'll tell a story. I was involved in a campaign in Australia called the Bread Campaign, the National Bread Campaign, or the Australian Bread Campaign. So when we are planning corporate communication, we ask questions like why. So for this one, why would we run a campaign called the Australian Bread Campaign? What's the aim? I will tell you the aim. The aim was to try to get more Australians eating bread. Now, we did some research in Australia and found that most Australians at that time thought bread was unhealthy. Maybe you think the same thing. But nutritionists and dietitians in Australia, those health professionals in Australia, did this research and realized that actually people were wrong. Bread can be healthy. It depends on what you put on it or in it, right? But it's important to eat bread because it provides important fiber in your diet, and fiber is important. So all the dietitians and nutritionists and health experts decided we needed to run this campaign. It's a communication campaign. We needed to educate and communicate with Australians to educate them that they needed to eat more bread for health reasons. When? Something to think about when you're running a communications campaign. When should you run it? It's important to think about the timing or the time. And for us, we ran it at Easter time. In Australia, Easter is a little bit different to here. Here, you tend to have, what do you have at Easter? You have yellow flowers. What do you call those yellow flowers at Easter? Everyone gives out yellow. Am I wrong? Daffodils, yeah. Is that it? Daffodils, yeah. You guys, are you from Finland? You don't give yellow flowers? Oh, I'm telling you the wrong thing. What do you do at Easter? What's special at Easter? What do you give or eat? Chocolate. What? Chocolate. Spring lamb. Yeah? We do that in Australia too at Easter. And then there's this black thing. Mummy. Yes, yeah, you eat that with a bit of cream and sugar. In Australia, we don't do that. In Australia, we tend to have this image on the screen. It's called a hot cross bun. In the UK, I think it's the same, where it's got a cross on the top made of some white icing. So we were running this campaign at Easter. The second question is what? So what was communicated? I think you understand by now the background I told you about this campaign. You would understand what was communicated. The communication was basically, we call it message. What was the message? The message, and it's always important to have a short, punchy, easy message to understand, not a big thesis, but a slogan. Perhaps you've heard the word slogan. A key message, and for us it was something like, eat more bread because it's healthy. Something like that. To that, what was communicated? Who was it communicated to? Vilma talked about stakeholders. So who is the audience? And for us, there's an image there of, we did some research and realized that for this type of campaign, we should target a certain group of people who tend to make decisions in the family about what sort of bread to eat and what sort of food to buy. So when people go into shopping centres and decide to what to buy for the family, it tends to be, back then, it tended to be mothers of young children. So we thought, okay, if we're going to try and target one group of people rather than everyone in Australia, let's try and target mothers of young children. because research showed that it's effective to communicate to them this type of message. So that was the other question, well, who was it communicated to? And finally, how was it communicated? How do you communicate that type of message to mothers of young children in Australia? In every session from now on, I am going to give you a scenario like this, and I'm going to ask you in small groups to try to solve communication problems. So if I had time, I would ask you, for instance, to, in your small groups with people next to you, come up with two or three answers to that question. How would you communicate it? What sort of way would you communicate this to Finns, for instance, Finnish mothers of young children? But because of time, we won't do that now, but we will be. So I want to make it more interactive for you in the future, because we'll have more time in the Mondays coming up. So I'll tell you more about this bread campaign next week. This is just a teaser, I guess you would say. Vilma mentioned pool communication, so I'm trying to pull you into this coming back next week. All right, so one thing I need to tell you is, if I'm teaching you about corporate communication, I need to tell you what it's not. So corporate communication is not one-on-one communication, one-to-one communication. It's not individual communication. It's really not even group communication. It's not even team communication. What it is, and these are definitions I think you'll find in the textbook and other textbooks I'm guiding you to look at. It's about managing the communication in the whole organization with lots of audiences, not just one-on-one, not just small groups and teams, but lots of mass audiences in strategic and tactical ways. So they're the Porosi people. So in chapter one, there's definitions. Because of time, I've highlighted in red some of the most important terms for you to understand. I want you to understand that it's a management function. Not anyone does corporate communication. They need to understand that there's a management process in this. You can't just throw communication together. Secondly, there's a coordination involved. Thirdly, there's internal communication to internal staff, for instance, and there's external communication to people outside the organization. So really, it's the management of the communication. And by the end of this course, I would love to think that you guys could be better managers of communication with an organization. So here's a diagram to show you the difference between internal communication and external communication, and the red or grey, the red area in the middle. Internal communication might involve, have you heard of intranet? Or is that an old word? Put up your hand if you understand intranet. Ah, good, okay. Intranet is always a challenge in communication. How do you get staff to look at the intranet daily? How do you get them to engage with the intranet? That's a challenge we try to overcome. And then there's external communication, which might involve advertising and so on. Vilma mentioned a little bit about this. So corporate communication, I'll finish up with this. Corporate communication used to be about pushing communication, as Vilma said, which really means that the organization used to be the most important entity in corporate communication, but it's not so much now. So when I say organization-centric, I mean we used to feel the organization was the most important entity. We also used to treat communication in a linear line way. And so this image up the top from sender to receiver was the model we used to use. You can see one-way communication from the organization to the stakeholder, who is the receiver. But we've changed. Today, it's more, the stakeholder is more important. I wouldn't say more important than the organization or the corporation, but they are more important than they used to be. Vilma mentioned that we listen more. So if I was running Conair Communications today, I would be listening to the customers more. I would be listening to the other stakeholders, government, politicians, the news media. To listen makes you understand their needs more, so you communicate more effectively. So that's what we mean by stakeholder-centric communication. And it's more interactive, more participation in communication. It's more fun that way, especially with social media. You can really interact with your stakeholders a lot more these days. Corporations don't do that enough. So over the coming weeks, I'll show you some case studies of how corporations could be doing this better. Let's see. Yes, one more point. Activists are so powerful today. You guys could be an activist. You probably are. It sounds like a challenging word, but activists today are more important in corporate communication. We value, we try and engage with them more. They are, some people, Vilma talked about hate holders. Stakeholders who hate the organization, often they are activists. And we need to learn how to engage and communicate with them better. All right, so next week, please read, please read chapters 3, 10 and 11, and we'll talk about this. Thank you.
Katoin tänään, niin klikkasin jotain linkkiä, sit muuta oli.
Kyseli äsken, jos meni just.